But let's look at some other capabilities that it has. Let's look at Lake Nesmith. Here we have Lake Nesmith down here. This is a little bit of an example. Here I've added a flood to Lake Nesmith. So I look at this flood, and I raised the level 1 foot above ground. So I've added an extra foot of water. So it only rained for 8 days and 8 nights this time, instead of 38 days and 38 nights. And here I have an elevation change, which you can think of as a sandbag wall. And the sandbag wall is 2 feet tall, okay? And it's on Carnegie Avenue here. So we could build a 2 foot tall wall on Carnegie Avenue, I believe. We could make our stand there. And
does it give you the, when you pick out certain places here on the elevation, does it give you the footage?
Well, the sandbag was trial and error, but I was actually looking at this, finding these areas, right? I was looking for low spots. So what happens, let's turn that off actually. We'll turn it back on in a minute. So what happens if I don't build that sandbag there and I raise up Lake Nesmith a foot? Let's move it over here. See if anything happens. I think something will happen. Yeah, we have a lot of lowland connected to that area, right? And so the only thing about their flood element,
canal.
It's actually a canal. Yeah, it's actually flooded down. You know, the reason it's not a great example is they actually made a underpass under Carnegie and connected it to this low area, and then they block off the other end, so it's a more controlled situation. But it gives you a good local example of what this can do. And so the limitation of the flood element is what it says is everything under me is underwater. So if you have a small pond on the side of the Rockies and you put a 1 foot flood on it, and that 1 foot will overflow the banks, you'll flood the entire Great Plains. You know, it doesn't have any quantity or volume associated with it. It just floods everything underneath it. However, they do have a runoff and a water flow elements, which actually you tell how much, like you could put it like at a dam, and you could say a certain amount of water is passing over. And I haven't played with those yet. There's so much to get to. I haven't got to that, but several people on the forums have said that they lived in an area where the flood was too over optimistic about how much it could flood, and they used those instead and it worked better. So it's on my list to get to, but there's a lot of things to get to, so I haven't got to that.
So they had the thing with Mozilla a number of years ago, or with the heavy rain where they had flooding
I'm going to put my sandbag back.
Wall across
see what happened.
South Main.
Well, that's what happened when I put my 2 foot sandbag wall back. It all went away. So this is the kind of what if things you could play. You could go down in Nemecilla in various places, cut little holes in the dike, and do all kinds of studies. Now, you know, I just whipped this up quickly, but it gives you a good idea of the kind of tactical situations you could look at. You could actually pick this as a drill, and then you could, on here you'd see the extents of the flooding, you could position people in the field based on that. You know, it'd be a nice little drill. There's a lot of little things you can play with in this, but this is...
You just raised their Nesbitt Lake?
I did. You know what, I don't have the water bodies in here, but yeah, that's what's like down on. The other thing I wanted to show you guys is you can get the FEMA 100-year floodplains. And I actually got them, and I thought they were going to be a lot more area than they turn out to be, actually, a 100-year flood. So this is, again, if we were to turn on, let's say, the elevation data, so we get an idea of where we're at. Let's turn off the Aries members, so none of you want to know that you're going to drown, right? And these red, you can see they go on and off as I go over and off. So just little areas in the valleys, essentially. Maybe I should turn the... little areas at the bottom of the valleys are the 100-year floodplains. I thought the 100-year floodplain would be like downtown Akron, but they're pretty limited, I have to say. So That was surprising to me.
You used to do that down in Tuscarawas County.
Yes.
Right, gotcha. On 77, you probably see a whole big difference.
From Marietta.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then the last application I'd like to show you that I've put together is the Tour de Cure. And, you know, we've had all these things. I've had Riverview. I've had Brecksville North and South. I've had Barlow East and West. I've had Terex. I've had Hines Hill in Northampton. And frankly, I have sat at Net Control for years and had no idea where any of those places were. You know, so it really was really difficult to achieve a situational awareness at a level that I really wanted to have. But now I have all those on here. I have the route. And I can zoom in to any of those. And for instance, here is Hampshire. If that guy calls in, and again, this is apparently an area I didn't zoom in while I was connected to the internet, I can tell him kind of pretty precisely where he's really supposed to be using. Now,
I thought you had him going down Hampshire, not.
This is Hampshire here.
I mean, Diplomat, not. Go to the west, yeah. See where it goes up around the corner and then that little zig and a zag?
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't know what this is, actually.
This year we're giving Net Control people a tour of the whole route, all 126 miles of it, so you know where you're at.
So,
is that how long it is?
Yeah, 100K, 250Ks, and 25K.
Oh, okay.
So actually, I wanted to talk about this background here is openstreetmaps.org. So this is for me, this is going to be unbelievably good. And if this guy, there's some guys over here, I can't remember what they are, like maybe the Call Road guy moves to Young Road partway through when these guys get past him. Well, I can just delete that Call Road now. He's over here. And the other thing is that you can load just CSV comma delimited text box. So the morning of Tour de Cure, when we finally decide who's going to be at each of these, I just load a file that puts the call signs on all these. Then I knew who they are. Sometimes, you know, I'm a very irritable Net Control if I call you and you don't answer. And I will call until the electrons quit, or I can find someone to go over there and track you down like the bad dog that you are. And so sometimes I find it's useful to call by your tactical call and by your call sign and possibly by some names that your mother never called you. But you will answer me, by God, or I will know the reason why not. So I like to know the actual call sign in case you go to sleep on me. I will get someone to wake you up. So, but this street map in the background is openstreetmap.org, and that is an interesting thing all in its own. I'm going to find something here. Here's Kent State Drive is this thing that comes out here, and what you'll see is that wasn't on openstreetmaps.org. Openstreetmaps.org is like the people's map. You go on, and if there's a street that you want on the map and it ain't there, you just add it. And so you're not allowed to use another map as a source because those are all copyrighted. But they do provide Yahoo overhead photos. So you can easily trace most of the roads if they don't go through, you know, through the woods or tunnel or something. The problem is the photos don't know what their name is. And the photos don't know whether they're four-lane or two-lane, whether they're residential, whether they're paved or dirt. But you know that. So you go on there, you trace the little overhead photo, and you put that it's, you know, in this case it was sort of already there. Let me, it was sort of already there, but it's kind of almost dotted line because I've never been on Kent State Drive, and it's unclassified. I don't know whether it's, a full
it's two lanes.
Is it like a residential area? So I wasn't sure. It was actually drawn in, but since no one had given it a name, it didn't show up on the website. But when you go into edit mode, it was there. So all I really did was give it a name that was Kent State Drive, and boom, it shows up on the website now. And now it's in here, and I can draw a route on it. And another thing was down here. You can see here that Kaiser Parkway does not go through to Steele's Corners. if you zoom in, come on, work with me. It does, because I added all this. But interesting thing is, at every level, at each of the 15 levels of zoom, there's a different tile. And so those are cached. And so at the higher level zooms, the previous version that didn't have them is still in my cache. And so I really need to delete my cache and load all this over again, but I was afraid I would delete my cache and I wouldn't get it back, and then I'd come to the meeting tonight and I couldn't show you anything. But this is a good example of the fact that, you know, it really looked like this, and it was very easy to go in and just add those, because my route goes there, and my road route only follows roads. So I had to actually bring one down to here and stop it, and then put a dotted line across there, and then start another one when the roads came back. So it's great. So last year when I was using UIView at Blossom for the MS Walk, the Kent State Boulevard was not in there either, and it kind of drove me nuts that it wasn't there, right? And I didn't have any way to add it because I was using Precision Mapping Software 8.1. I had no way to add that street to it. So I couldn't do some things that I can do here. But now I love this. There's another one down by Graham Road, Crown Point Boulevard. It was in two pieces. It didn't come together. Well, I just connected. So now my route goes right through there. So I love the idea that you can actually correct your map and add the map that you're using here. And so that's, you know, we might find, for instance, at a particular shelter that they've done road work recently, or around a dam or a chemical plant or something, we may find that we look at the recent overhead photography that the roads have changed in a way that we would want to know about in an emergency. Well, we can go online and make those changes, and then it will show up in our depiction. So I think that's a tremendous advantage that this has over other things. The other thing is that because it caches all these things and saves them, you kind of get this master Summit County file that you have zoomed in on everything. And again, I haven't done a great job of that here because time was sort of an issue. But then you have a copy of that file here at the Red Cross. You have a copy of that file at the EMA. You have a copy of that file at my house and at Walt's house and maybe at Dave's house, maybe at Ken's house. And you know what? Then, in an emergency, we can all open up that file, and we all have the same starting point. It's all saved there. Also, when I was in, I'm going to go back to my script here. When I was in the Lake Nesmith, I really wanted to show you the kind of things that they have. Maybe the right way to do that is to do this, do this.